Oh, what a day it is. Call it Tuesday, October 1st, and we are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. What a beautiful day for a daydream. No, what a beautiful day to be talking about farming, folks. That's right. And we've got Dusty Clover Glaze with us here today of the Crossbar Lazy Bee Ranch. And I tell you what a great day to be at a lazy ranch, let me tell you. I've got Dusty here today. She's going to be talking about what she does. She trains horses, all the different aspects of that goes along with training horses. We're also going to be talking about these famous South Carolina horses called Marsh Tacky horses. So I certainly hope you're going to stay tuned right here with us on WCRS. That's, of course, 1450 AM on your radio dial. And don't forget, if you got to leave us, you can always carry us with you on the stream or on your smartphone at WCRS1450AM.net. But Dusty, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. We met you a few weeks ago and just thought it would be very interesting to have you come and sit down and explain to people what you do. Now, where is your horse farm at?
We are off of 378 between Edgefield and McCormick.
How big a farm do you have there?
Well, it's about 20 acres that we've got fenced in. It's pretty big.
Big enough. Big enough, I'd say. Yeah. Now, you of course, have lived here, I guess, is it for 8 years, roughly?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. But where are you from originally?
I'm originally from California.
Oh, my goodness. From California all the way to McCormick. It's really McCormick, isn't it?
Yes. It's
South Carolina. So, Dusty, why don't you tell us, how is it different? I mean, do you wish you were back in California, or are you happy to be right here in South Carolina?
I am absolutely happy to be here in South Carolina.
Why is that?
It's just a much slower pace out here. I just really love it. I really don't like the fast pace of California. There's just way too much hubbub, way too much going on. I'll take this any day, definitely.
How about the temperature?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a lot more humid here.
that takes a little to get used to.
Yeah, the humidity takes a little to get used to. We have a lot of heat in California, too, so the heat's not so bad. It's just the humidity that's a little rough on me, but oh, well. I'll take it.
You'll take it. Now, when growing up in California, you said you were right outside the Fresno area, and you kind of were traveling back and forth between what and what now?
Between the Sierra Nevada Mountains and the Sequoia Mountains. My dad lived in the Sequoias, my mom lived in the Sierras, so I was kind of back and forth. So I really was, you know, pretty much a mountain girl.
Mountain girl. Well, how about growing up out there? I understand it was your mom that actually gave you the love of horses.
Yes, definitely. My mom was always doing animals. We always had horses. As a child, I always had ponies. I don't remember ever being without a horse growing up.
Do you remember being in the womb and your mom riding a horse? I was thinking, you said there's pictures of you sitting there with your mom being a baby here, and so she must have been riding horses when she was pregnant with you.
I'm sure she was. Absolutely positive.
Well, how about the first horse that you ended up having to train? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I was 10, I got my first full-size horse. I had been bugging everybody to get me a full-size horse. I was tired of doing ponies. I thought I was too big for ponies. So I wanted real horses, you know. Not that ponies aren't real horses. Ponies are great, but I wanted a big horse.
Sure.
So they got me a big horse, and she wasn't trained. She was, you know, she was halter broke. She was gentle. But I was told that if I wanted to keep her, I had to train her. And so I did. And by the time I got done, I went everywhere with that horse. I rode her bareback with no halter, no bridle, nothing. No saddle, just, I rode her through the woods and just the time of my life. That was the time of my life on that horse.
How long did it take you to train the horse?
Well, to get her to that point, it took quite a while, but, in hindsight, it probably wasn't all that smart to be, riding bareback and bridleless through the woods and, as a child and just, willy-nilly running around.
Well, that's California, though, isn't it? That's the home of free love and all that good stuff, isn't it?
But it was. Yes.
But it was, yes.
But it was the time of my life. I mean, it was great. I do remember, later on in years, my mom and I were reminiscing, and we started talking about that particular horse, and she said that the first time she saw me come out of the woods on that horse with no bridle and no saddle, she was just totally shocked. She couldn't believe it. And it was kind of just a good memory that my mom and I got to share. So it really was.
So what does it take to, to be able to ride a horse with no bridle, no saddle? You have to have the ultimate in, thigh control, isn't it?
Well, pretty much. Yeah, you got to have a lot of muscle there. But it really takes more balance and just being one with the horse. It's really important to have a good relationship with your horse, and not all horses are going to be that.
Sure.
Some horses are just not going to progress to that point.
Some are stubborn. Stubborn.
Oh, definitely.
It can be a stubborn horse there, folks. Yeah.
But she was just a really special horse. And, there are a lot of horses like that out there.
Sure. So as you ended up here in South Carolina, you met your husband, ended up moving out here to South Carolina. Was that at all traumatic to leave California?
Not really. I'm pretty adaptable.
Yeah. So was it an adventure here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything is an adventure. So, to say the least, it's been an adventure. And it's been a really great adventure. So,
So y'all decided to open a farm where you train horses and this type of thing?
Yes. And that's what we do. We train horses. We also raise chickens. So I've got about 150 chickens out there.
Well, we're going to be talking some about the chickens. By the way, the rodeo was here a few weeks ago. Did you go see the rodeo?
I didn't. I didn't get the chance. Yes. I was awfully busy having my own rodeo.
Having your own rodeo. Okay. Well, there you go. See, you never know what you're going to have on this show here today, but we have Dusty Clover Glaze, and one of the things we're going to be talking about here this afternoon is how they do colt. They do starting lessons, how you train the horses. They do the whole thing out there, and we just thought it would be fascinating since the rodeo had just been here and people love horses, particularly it seems like young girls love horses, that this would be an awesome opportunity to learn some about it. But right now we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and when we come back we're going to be talking to Dusty Clover Glaze. Yes, folks, that's really her name. I've tried to figure out why her mother named her Dusty Clover. I was thinking of the dusty trails and feeding the horses clover. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But hey, we'll be back in just a moment. If you've got a question for Dusty, don't hesitate to call us, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with Dusty Clover Glaze, and we're just having a good time talking here this afternoon. And Beth called in this afternoon and wanted to know, where is your place, Dusty?
It's off of 378. We're at 404 Highway 378 West. If you want to look on the map, we're close to where 378 meets Highway 25. So we're about 3 miles from that intersection. So we're pretty easy to find.
Okay. And why don't we give out a telephone number if after you get off the air, if somebody wants to call and talk to you more, why don't we give out your phone number?
Okay, that's 803-640-6763.
Okay, that's 803-640-6763. You can call Dusty at the Crossbar Lazy Bee Ranch. Now, do you have a website or anything, Dusty?
We don't, but we will soon.
Okay.
When I can find time between horses and all the other animals, get one up.
Exactly. Well, you know, it is tough, isn't it, being in the... I guess we're going to say farming, horse raising, horse breaking. I mean, that's a full-time job, isn't
it? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, how many of y'all work at the farm there?
Well, it's just me and my husband, so it's pretty busy.
Pretty busy, yeah.
There's never a dull moment. It's pretty much sun up to sundown, so... Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work, but it's the kind of work we love. So,
just out of curiosity, with all the rain that we had this summer, how did that affect with the horses?
Well, it made a muddy, mucky mess is what it did. It really was a mess out there. I was just really glad that we didn't plant this year. Usually we'll have a garden, but we didn't do a garden this year. It was just too hectic. There was too much going on, so we didn't get anything in the ground. And I ended up being really glad because with all the rain, you know, everybody I know that I've talked to that planted ended up saying that they either lost their crops or the crops didn't produce very much fruit. So, you know, I was really glad I didn't waste the seed. So,
sure.
Worked out.
Absolutely. So, now, what do you actually do for training? You know, Beth here wanted to know, are there any openings? Do you teach horseback riding, or what exactly do you do at the farm, at the ranch?
We train horses. I don't do any horseback riding lessons at this time, and that's only because I don't have a horse for training right now. So, for riding lessons. We've got some horses there that are our horses, but we're using them for other things, so I'm not going to use them for a lesson horse. But in the future, you know, eventually we'll get something in that we will use for some lessons, and we will offer lessons.
If somebody had their own horse, would you teach them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So if you have your own horse and you want to learn how to ride it and do good things with it, you can do that. Now, you also board horses, don't you, there?
We don't board, but we do offer a horse training course where, you know, people can come and they can learn how to train their own horse. And they can keep their horse at our facility. So in that aspect, we'll board their horses, you know, so that they don't have to travel.
Sure. And how long is the horse training course?
It depends on the horse and the person. You know, however long the horse takes.
Okay. Well, I mean,
long the person would like to go. So,
sure. But what exactly do you train in this horse training class? What exactly is it that they learn or to do?
Well, they would learn how to start their own horse. It's a course for green horses, which is, you know, a horse that hasn't been broke yet. So it's not, you know, it's not like a tune up your horse course.
It's not like a tune up your horse course.
It's
for those newbies that still need to be trained. You
exactly.
Like to take them untrained and make them trained horses. Am I getting the drift here?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, and we can teach everything from halter breaking and leading and personal space, you know, mutual respect. You know, we're going to teach body language, verbal commands, whoa, and other cues, moving away from pressure, flexing, bending at the pole and giving the head, sacking out, bidding.
These are some interesting terms now, Dusty, just for the record. Sacking out.
Well,
if you're not a horse person, what does that mean exactly, Dusty?
Sacking out is when you get the horse used to other environments. You're going to, you know, you want, we have a flag that we use that we will touch the horse all over with the flag. You're getting them used to the saddle blankets and the saddle, all of the gear that you're going to use, you know, different things that they're going to come into contact with when you're, you know, out and about and working with them.
Sure.
You want to get them used to all that before you jump on and take off down the trail. Yeah,
right. So they don't get spooked, really. It's so they don't get spooked, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So, it, you know, the course is based, it's a really good thing to do. It's based on
some mutual respect for each other, for the horse and the person.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's a private lesson thing. It's a one-on-one setting so that you don't feel...
So it's not in a group.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So you're not intimidated. You know, you're just there. It's you and your horse, you know, and one of us,
sure.
You know, to teach you how to handle it. You're not, you know, in a group where you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be ridiculed and mocked. And you know.
What type of do you use as far as a training? I mean, do you beat them into submission or what?
Oh,
exactly?
Absolutely not.
Some people do, don't they?
Yes, some people do. And that really, and then they bring them to me and ask me to fix them.
Okay.
Because they can't figure out what's gone wrong. Well, you've messed him up.
Right.
You want to teach, it's all about body language with horses.
I have a big dog. I have Gracie. You've met Gracie. She's a big dog.
Yes.
And, you know, if I'm not the alpha girl here in the family, she will definitely take over. In fact, I've even learned, and this is just on dogs, that, you know, it's much easier for me to say, if I want her to do something and I'm sitting down, she doesn't always do it. But when I stand up, she realizes I mean business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to establish yourself as the alpha. You know, if you watch horses as a herd, you know, the way they establish the alpha, you know, they're using their bodies. If you watch them, they will use their bodies to move the other horses, you know, and when that doesn't work, you know, they'll bite and they'll kick and, you know, et cetera. But
well,
it's
I guess
all
that's
about
how
body
you have,
language.
And you probably have one horse that ends up out in front, right? When they're all running and they're all kind of following in there together.
Yes. So, you know, it's just, you know, like I say, it's all about body language. You want the horse to yield to pressure. You need to be the boss. You know, the horse isn't there to push you around.
Even though the horse is the bigger of the two of you.
Exactly. And if you get into a fighting match, you know, with a horse, you're not going to win. You know, that's a 1,200-pound animal. You know, you're not going to...
You're not going to win. Right.
You know? So, you know, you really need to watch what you're doing and, you know, you need to be aware of what's going on and you do need to be the alpha. You know, things like nibbling, you know, a lot of people think that's cute. You know, the horse puts its mouth on their arm and nibbles and whatnot. Well, that's not cute. That's dangerous.
Because the next thing could be a bite.
Exactly. So, you know, so I've heard it all. But and that's part of the course. You know, we're going to teach, you know, certain things about body language, you know, how to gain a mutual respect with your horse. You don't want to work against your horse. You want to work with it. But you still need to be the boss. But you don't need to, you know, sit there
intimidate.
And beat. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and that's what we'll teach in the course. And like I say, it's based on what your needs are, you know, and what your goals are. If you, you know, want to just take your horse and trail ride, or if you want to, you know, start showing and, you know, these
different types of things based on different type of actions that you're going to do with the horse.
Yeah, it's all, we work around you and your needs. So it's
and
really
I suppose that, you know, just like there's different horses out there and what they need, there's different people as far as what they feel comfortable doing and not doing.
Exactly. And that's what we're working on is the individual needs, goals, and abilities of horse and rider. So it's kind of a neat little thing. I thought people would like, you know, they don't have to go and be in a group of other people. You know, I get intimidated when I'm in a giant group of people. It's kind of, you know, nerve-wracking.
Sure.
So I kind of thought, well, you know, somebody needs to offer something where everybody isn't you know, all there at once. And, you know.
So you can literally take a horse from being bridle broken. Is that, I mean, is that, or from what to what?
From being absolutely nothing, being not handled, to, you know, being a really, really well-trained horse. That takes time, you know,
sure.
That doesn't happen overnight, but yeah, it just depends on, you know, what the horse needs, what you got, you know. If you know, you have a horse that's halter broke and you want to bring it and you want to get it started, well, that's great. You know, the gentler the horse, the better, because it's got to
start.
So,
exactly. You know. All right. Well, we are here with Dusty Clover Glaze. She is with the Crossbar Lazy Bee Ranch. Telephone number at the ranch, 803-640-6763. We're going to be right back. We'll join the news in progress. Don't you go away. And if you got a question for Dusty, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon having a fascinating conversation talking all about colt starting lessons, training your horse. We're going to be talking about chickens here in just a few minutes. But, you know, one of the things, one of the calls that just came in was a question, well, how much are the lessons? Well, there's no charge for the laughter. That is for sure. We have no charge for the laughter. You can tell that this is going to be a fun time. And $35 per session is how Dusty says. She does it per session. And, of course, I guess, Dusty, you could start down this road and learn the things that you need. And then if you need to come back or you want to continue all the way through, you certainly can.
Yes. And each lesson progresses, you know, each lesson builds off of the last lesson. So, you know, and really, you know, I always suggest, you know, you need to at least do 3 lessons a week, because anything less than that, you're really kind of wasting your time, because it's imperative that a horse gets repetition. When you're training a horse, they need lots of repetition. You know, if you start and then don't follow through, the horse is just going to forget by next week.
Right. You know? So, they don't have those long memory things there until it's in their brain really good.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sure. So, $35 a lesson, and she just said like 3 lessons a week would be ideal. Now, when, of course, everybody always is interested in kids being able to work with horses. Children love to work with horses. What age is particularly good?
14 and up. You know, 14, they've had a chance to, you know, kind of, they've been around horses for a while, they've been riding, you know. This class is definitely for people that already know how to ride, you know,
right,
and know somewhat how to handle a horse and know, you know, if you don't know how to ride, you shouldn't take this
course. It's not, this isn't the right course.
Exactly.
This is for somebody that's actually pretty serious.
Exactly.
About horses,
exactly,
and everything.
Yes, this is definitely, you need to know how to ride. You need to know your equipment, you know, the different parts of the equipment, the different parts of the saddle, you know, the different types of bits, the different types of bridle, you know, head stalls. You know, you need to know all of these things before you start getting serious about training a horse, because if you don't know what you're doing, you could get hurt.
Exactly.
So badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I mean, well, you know, but that can happen, you know, whether you've got to, if you're going to really get into horses, you got to know what you're doing, and you got to get the training to be able to do it.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things that I'm always amazed is how well I'll use pockets of the 4-H'ers are. Like over in 96, there's a good group, and a really big group, I think, over in Abbeville and whatnot. I'll bet that's where you get some people that are really interested out of the 4-H groups.
This is ideal for something like that. You know, kids that are getting ready to come out of, you know, they're ready to move on to something new. This is ideal for that. You know, they can learn with their own horse. They can, you know, progress into something a little bit more exciting.
Sure.
So, it's a great idea for 4-H'ers.
Absolutely. So if you have a young person that is hankering to train their own horse and you are up for it, you should talk to Dusty Clover Glaze. I tell you what, and you should give him a call, 803-640-6763. That's their telephone number. And, of course, we're going to be posting a video and, of course, posting the audio of this on our website so you can follow up with this. But, you know, one of the things that you also have at your place is you have a Marsh Tacky Stallion.
Yes.
And I didn't know what a Marsh Tacky horse was until I started reading about it. Really some fascinating stuff about Marsh Tacky horses. Now, tell us a little bit about it. They're really a South Carolina native, aren't they?
Yes, they are living history.
Yeah.
So they are just the best little horses we've ever had. They're marsh horses. You know, they're...
Are they shorter or lower to the ground or what?
They are smaller. They're a little bit smaller. Our stallion is 13.2 hands, which is, you know, 13 and a half hands. Hands are measured 4 inches. So
right.
So he's 4 inches times 13.
Right, okay.
0.2.
Okay.
They're really just really nice horses. They've got excellent feet. Their hooves, I can't say enough good about their hooves. They've got nice strong hooves. They're just really good minded. They're just really easy to train. They're really willing. They really buddy up to you. So
Their disposition is really nice.
Excellent disposition.
So I think it's pretty interesting that this horse was in a pocket down there on the coast, wasn't they? They had been kind of left alone when they found them.
They derived from stock brought by Spanish explorers and settlers during the 1500s. They were sold and traded. And made their way to South Carolina on the Native American trade routes. So at one point they were believed to be extinct. But a pocket of them was found and they were DNA tested. And it was confirmed by the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy that
they were the Marsh Tacky horses.
Yeah, they were the derivative of those Spanish horses that had been brought over by the settlers. So it's really interesting. And
so when you own one of these horses, you actually own a piece of South Carolina history.
You absolutely do. You absolutely do.
And, you know, to hear that they have a great disposition, and I presume they're probably pretty easy to train because they are wanting to please.
Exactly. We haven't had a bad one. We've really enjoyed them. We've enjoyed working with them. They're just really nice little horses. I love their size. They're just perfect. You know, I guess if you were, you know, almost 7 feet tall, you wouldn't you might want a bigger one, but.
Well, you know, I think it's really neat. And that they were actually, they've been for eons of time. I was a mounted beach patrol on Hilton Head Island during World War II. They used them for that on the beaches.
Yes, exactly. In fact, there's even evidence that Swamp Fox Francis Marion himself rode one. So, there's a lot of history on these little horses, and they're really faithful little horses. They've been used for just about everything. Pack animals, you know, pulling wagons, just plain trail horses, war mounts, a lot of hunting. That's what's going on with them now. There are a lot of people hunting with them. A lot of hog hunting going on.
Hunting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So they're dragging
How much do they cost? Just out of some idea. I mean, this is just rough. Roughly, how much does a Marsh Tacky horse cost?
They're running around $2,500. at this time. And if you want to find out more about Marsh Tackies and you want to see what some of the breeders have for sale, you can go online to marshtackie.org. And you can kind of check out their website. That's the Carolina Marsh Tackie Association website. And there's a lot of information on there. So you can kind of check that out. And there's a page there that shows what's for sale. You know, a lot of the different breeders, what the different breeders have for sale right now. So
sure.
A lot of really nice horses on there.
So, but see, here's something else you learned right here on WCRS. Meet me at the diner. You never know what you're going to learn about. Today we talked about Marsh Tackie horses. I didn't even know there was such a thing. And it's all involved in history in South Carolina. I think that's pretty neat. Hey, I'm Ann Eller here with Dusty Clover Glaze from the Crossbar Lazy Bee Ranch. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we come back, we're going to talk about another part of her business. Chickens! Who knew? Did you know they actually can lay them in Easter egg colors? You don't have to dye them. You can buy them already that way. Hey, we'll be back. Don't you go away.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller talking with Dusty Clover Glaze from the Lazy Crossbar Lazy Bee Ranch. That's a mouthful, Dusty. And we've just been talking about, she trains horses. I mean, that is what she knows how to do very, very well. So if you'd like to see about some lessons for somebody to learn how to really take their horseback riding to the next level, this would be an excellent place to start. 803-640-6763. That's 803-640-6763. $35 for a lesson. And I think, after talking to Dusty here, that anybody that really truly loves horses and wants to take their horseback riding to the next level or train a horse from beginning all the way through, this is, you would get a lot out of these lessons, right, Dusty?
Definitely, definitely. I think that you would really enjoy these lessons. You know, they're, like I say, they're one-on-one. You know, no intimidation, just a laid-back atmosphere and just, you know, a calm area to be in. So
sure.
Yeah, I think that it,
you, when it comes
really
to horse training, you get pretty serious, right?
Absolutely.
She's kind of been laughing a lot this afternoon, but she's very serious when it comes to her horse training.
Yeah, I don't laugh like this all the time.
Okay. But, Dusty, and this is, of course, at your ranch. Now, where exactly is your ranch in case we have people that are just tuning in?
We're at 304 Highway 378 West.
Okay, which is? Where is that close to? Off of 25 or?
Yeah, off of 25. It's off of 378 on near 25, so we're about 3 miles from that intersection.
So it's pretty convenient, not very far away, and would be an excellent place to start. And I'm sure that if you call Dusty, that she would love to talk to you and just see what it is that she can fit. And I equally expect, if you don't think you can help this person, that you probably will tell them that you just can't help them.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, sometimes
I'm not going to tell you I can help you if I can't.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, this is a girl who at 10 years of age was breaking and training her own horse and got to the point where she was riding bareback through the woods, no saddle, no bridle, no nothing. She was one with the horse, and you must love it, Dusty.
I do. I do. I really love my work, and I really have the ideal life, so I'm
very fortunate.
Absolutely.
Very fortunate. Absolutely. So you and your husband have the Crossbar Lazy Bee Ranch, but you also have, beside horses, you have poultry. You have chickens.
Yes.
And how did you start to get into chickens, Dusty?
Well, I got tired of the price of eggs going up. And it just seemed like the chicken meat that I was buying from the supermarket was really, you know, just a lot of fat, and it just, I really wanted to do something else. So I figured, well, I'm just going to go ahead and buy a couple laying hens and start there, and, you know, at least we'll have eggs. I won't have to buy my eggs anymore. So I brought those two little hens home and enjoyed them so much that I went and bought some more. And
what do you mean you enjoyed them so much?
I love their crazy antics. You just kind of, when you sit and watch them, they're just so silly. They play, you know. They just are really cute little animals to have. And I just enjoyed it so much that I just kept, I went and started buying more, and I just
couldn't stop yourself. How many of these poultry things do you have now?
Right around 150.
Does the word obsessive come up with Dusty here? But, you know, I think it's very interesting because people can actually buy eggs from you, right?
Yeah, well, we sell hatching eggs when we're not, if we're not using them. Okay. We're not hatching them ourselves. So we do sell hatching eggs. We don't sell eating eggs for now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and we sell chicks. You know, I incubate the eggs and hatch out the chicks, and I sell day-olds and biddies, and we sell young pullets and cockerels, laying hens. I've got really nice laying hens. I've got some really, really nice meat birds. I've got some large breeds, black copper Morans, and I've got some blue-laced red Wyandottes. Those are both really large breeds, and they are really good meat birds.
But now, you know, here's the thing, you know, I brought up about the different colored eggs. I didn't realize, of course, I've always seen brown eggs, but I didn't realize you can actually get, there's Easter eggers that lay blue, olive green, pink, and brown.
Yes. An Easter egger is a cross between a true Americana and basically any other chicken. And it produces, you know, different colored eggs, even pink eggs. I've got one little hen that lays just the prettiest little pink eggs you ever saw. So yeah, that's why they're Easter eggers. They just, they're already that way. You don't even have to color them.
You don't have to dye them. I think that's pretty neat. But, and then you even have, what is it? The black copper Marans lay dark chocolate colored eggs?
Morans, yeah. The black copper Morans, they lay dark chocolate colored eggs. They're really, really pretty eggs. They're very dark, and they're really nice size egg. They're good laying birds. So they're, you know, and that again, you know, you can add those to your Easter egg pile and
do very well.
Yeah, we get all different kinds of colors of eggs on our place.
That's pretty neat. So you have roughly 150. You're always, I guess, turning them over there. But, you know, one of the things you were telling me, you never go hungry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have no fear of butchering. Yes, so our excess roosters do not go to waste.
They do not go to waste, okay. So Coco Van comes to mind. There you go. All right, so, but if somebody wants to buy some laying hens or something like that, they can actually do it at your ranch?
Yes, they can just call, find out what I've got available. You know, sometimes I run out.
Sure.
And they don't lay as well during the winter. Chickens just, you know, they kind of cut back. They don't quit. Well, some breeds kind of quit laying altogether. But my experience has been, you know, they still lay a little bit. And so, you know, I'll still be incubating all winter. Anything that they lay is going in the incubator, right. or the refrigerator.
So. One of the two. Now, just out of curiosity, you built your own pens, you were telling me, for them. You don't let them just run free in the front yard or the backyard here, right?
Absolutely. I keep all of my breeding pens. I built them all myself. Pretty handy with a hammer. I built everything.
You built everything. Yeah, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we save a lot of money. We're very thrifty around our place. They're all in pens except for anything that doesn't sell, you know, within the first few weeks. I'll raise up, and I kind of like to free range those. So I'll, you know, but they don't just run around my house. They free range in the pasture, and, you know, that's just better for them. They, you know, they plump up, and then I'll sell them as laying hens just before they're ready to lay. So
well, that's pretty interesting. One of the things you were telling me off the air was about some of them will actually, you said they're like kitties. They actually will land on your arm and this type of thing. I mean, I am fascinated by this. I remember my grandmother used to have hens, and we'd go to her place in Maine. But she had this hen house where they were. But during the day, she would let them out. And, of course, you'd have to be very careful where you walked. Yes. Yeah. But you were telling me how they actually end up on your arm and this type of thing. Go ahead and just relate that to us. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. They're as much of a pet as, you know, a cat or a dog. I mean, I go out there. You know, all of mine were hand-raised, so they know who I am, you know, and they love me to death, at least in my head they do. But, yeah, I go out there, and as soon as I go out there, they'll, you know, I can put my arm up, and they'll fly up and just land on my arm and just sit there, and I can just sit there and pet them, and, you know, they
You don't
play
usually think of chickens that way, do you?
You know, most people really don't.
Right.
You wouldn't think of a chicken as a pet.
Yeah. Right.
But I find them to be really wonderful pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are very entertaining. You know, they'll play with a feather. You know, one of them picks up a feather and they'll run around and they, you know, they play keep away. One of them will come up and grab it out of the other one's mouth and then they'll chase that one. And I mean, they're just really hilarious to watch. They're always up to some kind of little antic. So
how many hens, if you didn't have as many as you have, do you think would be ideal if somebody wanted to have some to lay eggs for a family, let's say?
Three or four hens would lay plenty of eggs for a regular size family. Yeah,
sure,
yeah, absolutely. They produce pretty well.
So with 150, you've got a lot of eggs.
I have a lot of eggs.
Well, Dusty, I know that you were a little nervous when you came here today, but I think you've done a fantastic job, and I certainly hope that people will check you out, Dusty Clover Glaze, at the Crossbar Lazy Bee Ranch. That telephone number again, folks, 803-640-6763. That's 803-640-6763. I wish you all the best. If you've got a horse to train, you need to call Dusty and see about getting some lessons. Dusty, thanks so much for coming out here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. This was fun. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'll be back in the morning, 8 o'clock. Tune in. I'll be there. Bye-bye, everybody.